You know, what we want to do this morning is to simply take time out of the excitement of gifts and food and family gatherings and just the joy of all that goes with us to again just center ourselves correctly, making sure that our foundation is solid. So what we're going to do this morning is just spend a bit of time together as God's people reading scriptures. Scriptures that remind us that hundreds of years before God came as Emmanuel, he told us that he would do it and how it would happen. Scriptures that remind us of the beautiful truth of the nativity and the victory that came with that incredible event. And scriptures which bring us back to Revelation that we have been walking through remind us that as we gather this morning and we worship and we celebrate that the first Advent has happened, we worship longing for the second Advent when our Lord will come again. And so we're going to begin this morning in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." And then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? And therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." We heard so beautifully read by Jan the familiar birth passage that we read every time at this year. But do you ever ponder on the birth scene? And I think usually we think about it as this quiet, calm, peaceful evening. You know, our nativities reflect that, don't they? We have a nativity scene in our yard and got this soft blue light on it, and I like to light candles up our walk, and I think, oh, what a nice peaceful scene, and so calm and serene that it must have been. And peace did come with it. But you know, I think about this series that we've been going through, what to expect when you're expecting. If you've been here for all the Advents, remember we've been talking about what do we expect when Jesus has said that he's going to come for the second Advent and to come back again. We started off with talking about the fact that Jesus said there will be birth pains. Just like a woman who experiences labor, just, you know, she doesn't just wake up one day and have a baby and that's it. You know, there's the signs and the birth pains and all that that comes with it. And we talked about God's patience and how God's timing is not in our timing. How when he says he's coming soon, we're still waiting for him to come soon. We talked about the fact that godlessness will come when we're expecting. And that we shouldn't be surprised as we look around and see the darkness, because Scripture has said that that's what's going to happen. And last time we talked about spiritual growth, and that, you know, spiritual growth will happen when expecting is taking place. Well, today it's Christmas morning, and the last thing, or we'll look at one more tomorrow, but we look at this morning is that what to expect when you're expecting. Expect victory. Now, I want us to think about that as we get set to hear this other passage. A birth is not usually a quiet, calm event. You know, women struggle through something pretty intensely to bring a child into this world. Think about when Jesus was born. Revelation 12 is a very different nativity story. It's kind of like if we were to walk up here and pull these curtains back, and underneath the quiet of the stable and the animals lowing and the bright stars shining, there was something very intense going on behind the scenes. Revelation 12. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a voice, a loud voice in heaven, say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half, and time out for the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. We see the battle going on between the woman giving birth to the child and the dragon trying to devour this child. Under the lie of worship, Herod tried to destroy this child. He had numerous babies, we're told in Scripture, killed in Bethlehem later on to get rid of this child. But he failed. The dragon failed to devour the child. God protected this baby by taking Mary and Joseph and Jesus into Egypt to protect them so that he could not kill the child. Ever since then, it says in Revelation 12:17 that the dragon has set his sights on all of us who believe in Jesus. Scripture tells us that Mary's soul was pierced watching her son go through the crucifixion. But through the crucifixion, Jesus destroyed the power of death and the dragon once and for all. And so as his people, we share in this victory, and we will be strengthened against the attacks through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And Revelation tells us, and Scripture tells us, that heaven is already preparing for the victory celebration. And the story of redemptive history will end in complete victory. So as we gather as God's people this morning, and we declare the truth that he is Emmanuel, God with us, we declare the truth that he has come and he has won the victory, and Satan could not devour the child, and so the child, the Lord, reigns. So what to expect when you're expecting? This Christmas morning, we know that we can expect victory.
And we could reverse the order, except that's such a great song, we want to end with that. But man, I was thinking during that corporate prayer, you know, it's numerous of you mentioned thanking God for your church family, and that is something good to thank God for. And I was just thinking about it. This is sort of a third of my life has been spent celebrating Christmas with you folks. And you're a good group of people to celebrate Christmas with. And I was thinking about that yesterday, you know, the sleigh ride and the fun of being in community and gathering this morning to worship. And the community of God and people of God is a beautiful thing. And so it is good to be together this morning and just remember and declare the truths of this season. And I want to leave us, we're going to go to Revelation. Come the new year, we will be back into Revelation, finishing all the wonderful pictures that are in that book. You know, we started off with reading passages from Isaiah and Micah, and passages that for years were a part of God's people worship, that they would read and long and just know that one day this Messiah would come, and God had said it would happen soon. And of course, some of those generations never ever physically saw it in their lifetime. Again, coming to God's timing, but that was what they longed for and waited for. And we gather this morning and we celebrate the truth that those passages, those promises were fulfilled and they're true, and that's how we know God is faithful. And then we read Revelation, and as promises, knowing that Jesus will come again. And so we're going to close. This will sort of act as our benediction passages out of Revelation 19 and 22. And then we will sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, together to close off. Revelation 19, declaring that we will be in the presence of God forever, and he will come back as he has promised. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen! Hallelujah! And then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Amen. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's close together with that.